MLB.tv on ESPN is your home for every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Catch your favorite teams and players, plus MLB Network and ESPN app features like multi-view, syncing your stats, key plays, bets, and fantasy, all in one place. Sign up now for MLB.tv in the ESPN app. Separate subscriptions required. Blackouts and other terms apply. Visit stream.espn.com/MLBTV for more information.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hola.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank goodness I have this job, because I sure can't play golf.
You hit that guy!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, Apple TV lead MLS analyst Taylor Twellman, ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler, 10-year NFL head coach Jason Garrett, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
My cuts here with unlimited swings because I always homer on my last swing every single day right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM channel 80 for all those that are out there. At Rich Eisen Show is our handle on so many spots, X, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, everybody. It might be the Rich Eisen Show there, Facebook, so much more. There's richeisenshop.com if everybody wants a piece of our gear. We appreciate that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. We have got ourselves a heck of a show in store for all of you. We greatly appreciate anybody that's out there to hang with us over the next 3 hours. Taylor Twellman's going to be first up to talk with us about everything that is going down in the World Cup. France and Spain later on today. As soon as we're done, cool. When Toe touches football. And that one, Taylor is going to join us on this show shortly. And then we've got football on the brain. Why not? Jeremy Fowler, whose article on the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League as sussed out by unnamed coaches and scouts and front office executives has gotten a lot of people talking. Jason Garrett will join us in hour number three.
A coach.
So we'll clap for him when he comes this program.
Don't be this way.
We clap for everybody when they join us on this program. I don't.
You know what you did.
You
guys know what you did.
Okay. That was pretty good.
Anyway, good to see you over there, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Rich?
Good to see you. How are you over there?
I'm great.
What's going on, Jason?
Hey.
Do you have the new? You got the new gear.
I hope you don't mind. I just kind of helped
you grabbed
it.
You grabbed it from our green room.
I was passing your room and
so
went
you're just like, I'll just take that one. Wow.
There was a plethora.
Okay, richeisenshop.com. I greatly appreciate you. There's some of the gear that I rocked at the American Century Championship this weekend.
Nice material.
Hopefully, you'll finish better than 88th today. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. What's going on, man? How are you?
You well, that 88. That's Michael Irvin.
Yeah, that's right. I'm an 88 clubber.
You're an 88 clubber,
and I was using a club.
Look at the positive side.
I will. Thank you so
much. I mean, it's very negative for golf, but don't look at it like that.
Do we count you beating Miles Teller because he withdrew?
Oh, did he really? I didn't know he withdrew.
Yeah, he withdrew.
So he's 89th.
Peterman.
I think he had to get to Philadelphia because he did something for the for the All-Star game last night. Actually.
So you're saying he's 89th, really, Chris?
I don't know. Hey, guess what? We were talking about this yesterday, hearing about the new home run derby rules, and I digged it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about last night getting rid of the clock and what that might mean, and we just thought, though, that it would lead to fewer home runs when you're just limiting the first round players to 20 swings and then the second round combatants to 15 and the final combatants to 15. And we did not know that if you homered on your last swing, you get to keep going until you don't homer again.
Right.
We also didn't know that they would be throwing multicolored baseballs at that home run combatant, just to add a little bit of a extra twist to them having to hit something that's spinning and then turning different colors. But it turned out to be awesome. I really did enjoy it last night, certainly when a handful of unforeseen circumstances arose, like, say, players doing their best to homer in front of paying customers who normally would cheer those players on because they're hitting tape measure home runs for the pleasure of those who put down hard-earned American dollars to get in the stadium. Normally they would fet those combatants, certainly since many Major League Baseball stars that we would love to see grab a bat don't. And these guys who grab baseball bats and say, I will participate in the home run derby, unlike NBA stars who do not dunk a basketball in that contest that's always associated with the home run derby, the slam dunk contest, normally we would cheer for those players unless they're going against the Philadelphia Philly. And Philadelphia fans got things going. Wilson Contreras, for instance, was the first one to take on Kyle Schwarber, and he hammed it up.
He was a good sport about
it. He was a great sport. Yeah. Certainly since he was the first one to grab a bat last night and punched his ticket for the second round almost on the spot because of how well he performed in the first round. But he was going against Kyle Schwarber. So the cheers that we heard for Wilson Contreras was when he did not homer. And I got to tell you, the first couple of times I heard that, I thought to myself, well, that's kind of crappy. But then
You're like, we're in Philadelphia? Like,
we're in Philadelphia. I'm from New York City. That's just up, you know, the Acela. That's just up the turnpike.
You get it.
And I kind of got it. And it did add to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And Contreras was getting into it, and he got a chance.
Oh, he was so close.
He got a chance to get to his last swing and continue on with just a couple more home runs to get past Schwarber, but couldn't do it. And Schwarber advances to the final, and who does he face?
Ooh.
After cranking out 11 home runs in 15 swings. Or actually it was 16 swings, because I do believe, as you see on the screen here, he did become the first one to take care of what was called a magenta ball and deposit it outside the playing surface and field.
Yeah.
No one else had done it. And Schwarber did what everybody in Philadelphia wanted him to do, make the finals, step up, take his first cuts, set a standard, set a number, light up the crowd, light up the scoreboard, light up the baseballs, and then who steps to the plate? Ladies and gentlemen, first-time All-Star Jordan Walker steps to the plate. And he now has the honor of trying to tell Philadelphia fans, stick it where the sun does not shine. I hear your boos. I understand you don't want to see me win. I understand the guy that you want to see win just came up with 11 home runs in 16 and 17 swings. And sure enough, Jordan Walker steps to the plate with just 6 home runs and 3 swings left. You could do the math. He needs to basically keep homering.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot miss once.
That's pressure.
That is pressure. And he steps to the plate and he homers. 7 home runs, 2 swings left. And he steps to the plate, and he homers. 8 home runs, 1 swing left. And you could do the math. He needs to homer here, and then he needs to hit 3 magenta balls out of the yard. And only one human being had hit a magenta ball out of the yard all night, and it was the guy who he's trying to beat. And he homers, and he homers, and he homers. Mm-hmm. And he now needs to hit one more home run to just say, we're not even going to go to a swing off. We're going to end this thing right now. And I got to tell you, I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, this is what it's all about with this cockamamie clock that I'd never even seen before until a few years ago as they were trying to spice up this tournament and this evening. And he homers again. And his dad's pitching. And his family's in the crowd. And those seem to be like the only three people who were rooting him on along with his fellow All-Stars. Unbelievable. I was cheering. I'm exciting. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And he wins a $1 million prize. And because he's on his first Major League Baseball contract, that's $201,000 more than he's making this year for an entire season.
So that's like times X. What is that, Chris?
He made 125% of his salary.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Because you know I can't count.
Oh, the gambler knows all the money. Yeah. And the, yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
Odds. And in, dude.
His dad was so hyped.
His dad's like, he swings like me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, they told the story of his first ever home run and how it hit his grandmother's car. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was great. Everything awesome. You wanted about it last night, it delivered.
Awesome. 100%. Awesome. Awesome. And this is what Jordan Walker had to say about winning the home run derby.
I didn't know what to expect coming to this home run derby. And there's guys who've done it before. Their approach was kind of to take something away from them who've done it before as it was going on. So, in all honesty, I had a lot of fun with it. That was what it was. I can try to get my best swing off. But just watching their composure as well helped me towards my game, you know. No matter what, they were staying composed, even when, you know, their swings weren't going that way, their way. They took their time, and they went about their business. And I just excited to see more of that as this All-Star week is going on.
Do you want to talk about crazy stats here or nuggets, facts? He's the first St. Louis Cardinal to win the home run derby. And I'm like, wait a minute. Mark McGwire didn't win the home run derby in 1999? He did not.
No.
It was Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. over Jeremy Burnett. And I was there covering the 1999 home run derby, interviewing any American League all-star who had just homered. Because Stewart had the National League. Trust me. I was sitting there going, he gets McGwire and Sosa, huh? That's for a future. This was SportsCenter, but yeah, I forgot it, and I was on a field in Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cardinals have had some great players.
How about Pujols? Never won,
dude. And McGwire, I'll never forget that '99 All Star Game.
Well,
although
did
I
forget.
Did, I just I did.
Mean, you did.
I'll never forget this fact about it. Good one. Thank you for calling me out on it immediately. He had 13 home runs in his at-bat, his first at-bat, and he broke his bat in the middle of it.
Really?
Yes. And I do believe at one point during the at-bat, Pedro Martinez tried to steal the bat from him because he kept on parking it over the Green Monster, and he refused to let the bat go because he was hitting home runs with it, even though he had already broken it.
Wonder why.
And he didn't win. But this young man did, with all of Philadelphia rooting against him.
My thought was Philly's brutal. I mean, honestly. But I think it's pretty special because they love their players, you know, and that's what you want, you know, from your home, like where you play. I mean, I'd never hear people cheer so loud for, like, you know, Schwarber and Harper. And those guys did their thing for sure. But, you know, I can't hate them because that's their hometown. That's their guy. So I just got to play the game.
I love it. Good for him. And he's wearing his Netflix MVP jacket.
That jacket's
that's right there.
Dope.
Listen,
I
love the format. I like the format.
Yeah, huge win.
There's just a couple of changes, if I may, because I can't help myself.
Okay.
Not tinkering here. I'd shave off. How do we shave a half an hour off this thing?
Yeah.
Well, the intros took a while.
Well, I don't – listen, I can't blame Netflix for trying to – you know, it's their first crack at it here.
Yeah.
And eventizing it as big as they possibly can. I assume they got Michael Buffer because this is Philadelphia, the town of Rocky. Is that why?
No, I assume – I think Michael Buffer, if you put the bag in front of him, he will –
No, I understand that, but why the only like to bring sort of a boxing element to it.
He's from Philadelphia.
He's okay. Oh, see what I mean? Like, so we're putting it all together. I understand they've got, you know, Will Ferrell's new show that's coming out, yep. and they're trying to move everything, put everything together. As a matter of fact, during Jordan Walker's interview last night, right after winning, Netflix treated this like it was the end credits of any of the shows that I'm watching. Did this happen to you that they put it zoom in the top left corner and they gave you all different sort of new things that you should watch, yeah. including Will's new show,
which comes out this week,
which is great. And I'll watch it. But like, I wanted to see the Jordan Walker interview full screen with
right.
his dad.
Same.
So a couple times I was trying to tinker with it and I once got out of the app, whatever.
See, that's weird. I saw that full screen.
So listen, can we if we shave, what do we do? Make it 15 swings and then 10 and 10? We could do that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So these guys aren't all gassed?
They were getting a little, you can tell, a little tired at the end.
Because I do believe the entire event was like 2 hours and 40-something minutes. Let's just say if it was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Okay.
I looked it up. The Philadelphia Phillies have played 20 baseball games, actual games in that stadium so far this year, shorter than that time. 20 games. They played 20 baseball games in a shorter amount of time than the home run derby took place in that stadium. So I'd shorten it up a little bit. And then in terms of the Netflix presentation, was that Hunter Pence who was screaming the entire night? And I understand you're trying to give some sort of energy, but when he was screaming in Contreras' first at bat, I'm like, someone's got to get in his ear and tell him, there's going to be at least 200 more home runs tonight, man.
A lot of dick.
But I know I like, you know, Rizzo and Vasgersian and
yeah, they did a good job.
You know what I mean? And they had Bonds and Pujols, right, with Al Duncan, and there's yep. all different sorts of voices that they tried to work in together. But the one thing that we got to change is, like, listen, if you're directing the Home Run Derby, I might even know the director, so I apologize for saying this. I don't know who directed it, but let's take the Scorsese and Fellini out of it. I don't need to see the hero shots from down low when the series, when the event's on the line here. I need to see the pitch come in and leave the frame. I cannot tell. I am a diehard baseball fan, and I have been watching baseball for half a century, and I cannot tell a home run swing from a flyout swing if I cannot see the pitch leave the frame. I can't. Can you tell what a home run swing looks like just by zooming in on the player from down low? I need to see the pitch come in, and I need to see it leave the frame. So at least I can tell, oh, that's at a certain angle that could be gone.
Only if it's Schwarber, you can tell. But
Brother, I don't know about that. There were a couple swings where it was just like, and he goes, oh, that's why I know it's not going to be a home run.
Right.
Because I can't see the ball come in or leave the frame.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Some of those shots, though, after we saw, like when it was from down low, from behind home plate, and you sick. Watched it leave.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean,
but even that, yeah. showing that live, you could tell if it's a home run. But if you cannot see the ball leave the frame, the viewer at home can't tell what's happening.
So ideally, what shot would you like to have?
I want to see just like a baseball game.
So for center field.
Yes. Like yeah. certainly if yeah, it's sure. down to you have to homer, that happened twice. Contreras and the eventual winner, Walker, needed to keep homering to yeah. win. So for those, just give me behind home plate. Or, I mean, from center field.
Yeah, I want center field, and I want to cut to
either
home
one.
Behind so we can see.
Maybe. I don't know. Or don't cut.
Yeah.
Like, just give me straight up. It's the same thing when I'm watching a football game on a kickoff. Like, why do I need to follow it on a Skycam? But then again, I might be showing my age here. That's the way it looks like a video game. That's the way most of everyone in the demographic that they're trying to get to buy stuff is used to watching a game from. At any rate, I thought it was just a great night overall. I'm nitpicking now. Netflix picking? I don't know.
Perfect primer.
Am I nitpicking?
Perfect primer for tonight's game. It was it was awesome. It was exciting.
Yeah.
I'm sure kids were into it. Cage, we were dialed in. It was great. Great night for baseball. It was awesome.
But if Cage was on the East Coast, though, pal, this is almost 11 o'clock. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we got to let's shave some time off.
True.
I tell you, I got confused. I'm watching, you know, Monday Night Raw on Netflix on Monday. I was looking for the Home Run Derby, never realizing that it was also on Netflix.
Right. Well, so I mean, that's
I missed like the first 20 minutes of
that's
it.
That's part and parcel of our world right now, yeah. Right?
Where it was like, it's not on ABC. And then,
right.
So I missed, like I said, I missed the first 15, 20
minutes. Well, I tell you what, man. It was, I think, a successful night overall. It's something that we just led the show with. Now it's time to talk about World Cup. Taylor Twellman's going to join
Let's
us
go.
When we return here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Should we hydrate now?
We should. No.
Wait.
Because I think he's going to pull the usual drill.
Okay.
Well, we're going to have fun. Get your water ready. So about you know, a third and two-thirds through the interview, we're going to start drinking. Water.
Water.
Rich Eisen here for Gusto. On my shows, we talk a lot about what happens in the spotlight, the games, the highlights, and the moments that get replayed and debated. But in any successful operation, what happens behind the scenes matters just as much. Small businesses are no different. Payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, and all the details that keep things moving may not be the most visible part of the job, but they still have to be handled right. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich. While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup this summer, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent. Future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your vehicle's check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Wallman here on the program. Yeah.
But all you right, want brother. To know, Rich, real yes, quick, real yes, quick, yeah, if yeah, the yeah. camera, I don't know if I can get this. This is the coolest gift I've ever gotten. So these two balls right here.
Baseballs, not
yeah.
soccer balls.
So my okay. grandfather played for the Yankees, Tigers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yep. So he won, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the Detroit Tigers ball.
Is that 84?
1950.
Oh, 50.
56.
Okay.
And then this is a Yankees, this is the Chicago White Sox. There you go, Chicago White Sox that he played for. So he played 11 years in the majors. So that was when he passed away, all of us got like some memorabilia. So one of those balls, I think it's this one, was one of the Yankees teams that he got traded from midseason. They won Jeez. A World Series, and yet he still got a ring and all of that. So
wow.
it's kind of cool.
So if he won a, yeah. if he won a championship with Hank Greenberg, that is the most successful combination of a Twellman and a Jewish guy since this very conversation, I would think.
Yeah. Taylor, you know, yeah. How come that didn't translate to hold 12 this week at the American Central Championship?
Uh-oh, Taylor.
We'll get to that in short order. All right, sir. France and Spain, break it down for me. What do you got?
This is as good as it gets. I before the tournament started, Rich, I said this would be the World Cup final. Now, I don't know if I fully believe that because I think England is playing at a level that they've never played at. There's a belief within that group. And then Argentina obviously has Lionel Messi and everyone else just playing above their caliber to send them out in the right way. Now, when this French team is as athletic as any team I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And if you listed the top 10 attacking players in the world right now, I think they have three of them. Obviously, Mbappe, Dembele, but Olise has been absolutely brilliant.
He's been arguably the best provider in this entire tournament. And so when you throw in Mbappe, Dembele, and Olise, now the Spanish team is really going to have to deal with something. Now, they've only given up one goal. So the issue will be, it comes down simply to this. And I've said this since 2010 when I started covering the Spanish team. It is a death by 1,000 passes. Okay? They do not care where they are in the field. They will pass the ball to death to make you miserable, to have you chase the game. The problem with that is this, and this is going to be the number one issue for Spain today, is when they lose the ball, can they collectively swarm the ball, try to press the ball, and win the ball immediately back? If they don't, France has the athleticism. France has the dynamism to really expose them. So I get it. The Spanish team's only given up one goal this tournament. It was in the quarterfinal to Belgium. But I'm not sure they have faced anyone like this French team, and I'll be shocked if France isn't in the final.
Okay. And then the Wednesday semifinal, Argentina and England. I mean, England, man, Jude Bellingham has been outstanding. And what they just did to get past Mexico in Mexico City and then follow it up the way that they followed it up is unbelievable. And yet their coach is calling it lucky, right? And you did you see that reaction from Bellingham afterwards when it was his quote, his coach's quote was brought up to him? He goes, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's just like tough love, hard coaching or anything like that. But you need to have all your ducks in a row against the Argentines, wouldn't you not say, Taylor?
Yes, I agree, Rich. I do. Now, listen, I loved Harry Kane yesterday or 2 days ago.
Right.
When he addressed the Jude Bellingham and said, listen, it's 2 minutes after a game. You get told a quote. You react. Obviously, when you're in the battle, in the thick of things, you're going to stick up for yourself and for what the team was.
Right.
But then after the game, Thomas Tuchel and company, they kind of hashed it out. I think there was a little bit misleading there from the media. In saying that, I think you're right. There is a little bit of tough love. He knows that this English mentality and togetherness, it's been a long time, if ever, Rich, that they've had this. And then when you have a game breaker in Harry Kane and a game changer in Jude Bellingham, they're kind of really feeling themselves. And I think the German manager is just making sure that they are focused because they're going to have to be at their absolutely best to beat Argentina and Lionel Messi. And I actually think they can. Argentina's got very lucky, Rich. And you and I were talking about this at the American Century Championship. They've got very lucky. However, I've always been a firm believer you make your own luck. And this is not anxiety for Lionel Messi. They've already won it. So they don't have to. They've already won the World Cup for him. Now they're trying to send him out in a different. It's a different kind of energy than it was 3.5 years ago in the Middle East. That's a difficult one when you've got this burden that he'd never won one. This is kind of saying, we want to send you out with the right gift. That's why I think that luck is going to be very difficult for England if they're not absolutely perfect against Argentina.
Well, you want to take a swing at this one, Taylor, that it's not luck, that a lot of people think there's a FIFA thumb on the World Cup scale for Argentina. You want to take your crack at that one?
I don't believe in that. I do think the VAR decision with the Egyptian goal that was taken back, where it went back over 100 yards from goal, I think that raised a lot of eyebrows when a lot of people hadn't seen that in a while. But, Rich, what nobody's talked about is when the VAR protocols initially came out, and they're still in there, that it's within the attacking phases of the game, and you can understand it and see it. So that's where the – listen, I thought it was harsh. I thought the Egyptian goal should have stood. However, Egypt still gave up 3 goals in the final 13 minutes of the game. So whether that goal stood or not, I'm still going to tell you, Argentina, with the luck and the belief that they have, I still believe they would have won that game. Now, the road's easier – because you just compared what England did, Mexico in Mexico, Norway in Miami. Every single travel heat element has been a part of the English run-up where it hasn't been for Argentina. But I can't go that far in and believe a conspiracy that FIFA's tipping the scale for Messi to go out with a bang.
So you think it's France-Argentina at the end of the day?
I did before the tournament started, and I'm not going to move away from that.
All right, so then that sets up, because you know I'm a narrative guy by trade as an NFL guy.
Yeah.
And I always have this when it's a Super Bowl, which obviously this is a World Cup final, a Super Bowl in MetLife. Oh, pardon me, New York, New Jersey, like yes. The Seahawks and the Broncos had a few years ago. Brother, I mean, Mbappe and Messi are going into the semifinals tied atop the Golden Boot standings.
Yeah,
with 8 apiece. And then, you know, obviously Haaland is out, although Norway thinks he could have had an 8th goal if Sørloth had passed to him. And then Kane and Bellingham are right there. I mean, if one of them braces to get past Messi, right, like they could potentially be in this mix for the Golden Boot. But let's just continue on with the Mbappe Messi, because the standings, I think I talked with you about this while we were getting an IV or going through PT or whatever at the American Century Championship. Messi's one in front of Mbappe in the all-time goals scored standings for World Cup. They both passed Klose in this tournament. And it's I don't know. I still haven't found out the answer to this question if this particular statistic, this category, has ever changed hands twice within the same World Cup.
No.
You know, no, right? Like, never. No. But it's entirely possible that Mbappe could win the Golden Boot and be in front of Messi for the all-time goals record in a final. I mean, epic doesn't even come close to describing that.
No, how about the 5 names you just listed?
Right, I know.
I mean,
right.
The stars have delivered in this tournament unlike any real World Cup that I can remember off the top of my head. Because oftentimes there's always this breakthrough player here or there. And yeah, we can talk about Olise for the world or even Erling Haaland for the general sports fan in America. They didn't really know who he was.
Right.
Now they all know who he was. But you look at those 5 names. We're talking global superstars. And they've all delivered. And the fact that England's got 2 on that list, Rich, that's kind of remarkable. Jude Bellingham was actually being rumored 6 months before the tournament that he probably shouldn't go due to, quote, as the paper said, harmony in the locker room. What are you talking about, Reno? He's arguably been the best player in the tournament. So this World Cup has been epic because of the stars, and I firmly believe that. To answer your question, it's never been that way because Klose was Jason Pelé. They never had the same generations of players playing in the same World Cups. Mm. So for Mbappe, who's obviously going to play another World Cup, if not 2, if he wants to, when it's all said and done, he'll be the all-time leading goal scorer. But in this World Cup, you know Messi's thinking, I want to win the Golden Boot, I want to win the World Cup, and I want to be ahead of Mbappe. And I think if Argentina wins the World Cup, that's going to ultimately come true. I'm going to fit into your narrative, though.
Okay.
Seattle Seahawks, Broncos, what won that game?
Defense. Right, yeah.
Remember that game?
Sure.
It blew Peyton Manning, Wes Welker, that offense came in there, and they got their absolutely punched in the face. They got knocked down. They never recovered. If France plays Argentina, that is going to be the biggest topic of what can happen because of what we saw 3.5 years ago, which is the greatest game of all time in the international game. I don't know if you get that same kind of game. I really don't. I actually believe that game could be very cagey. And then which team is better defensively, which team can stop Mbappe, Dembele, Olise, where France is now playing in their 3rd straight World Cup final. Rich, you're talking a bunch of narratives in that one, and I ultimately think that's the game we get for the final.
Outstanding. To finish up our World Cup conversation for this show, take your hack at the U.S. men's national team and what they did in this World Cup and the hand-wringing coming out of it about the state of men's soccer or boys and men's soccer in this country. Taylor.
It's crazy, Rich. I feel like we talk about pay to play every 4 years and a bunch of people come into the conversation that don't pay attention and then all of a sudden come in and say pay to play this, pay to play that, and all of those certain things that we all are living and we're talking about and understanding throughout the game. And it's a little frustrating from someone on the inside that lives it and breathes it. Because I am always going to be open-minded to everybody on the outside that pays attention and offers ideas. But if your same idea, and listen, pay-to-play is a massive issue, not in soccer, in youth sports in our country, Rich. You and I talked a little bit about this at the American Century Championship. Every sport is expensive now. It never was the case when you and I played. It wasn't even the case 15 years ago. But whether it's AAU baseball or basketball, whether it's gymnastics or cheerleading, whether it's soccer or hockey or lacrosse, the fact that Little League baseball is now expensive. Rich, we've kind of lost the plot here. Now, youth sports is now a business, and it's not a development. And that question always comes every 4 years because the rest of the world is doing something differently than the United States are. Now, the reason why the women are better than the men is because the women have full resources. They have Title IX. They have college. They have more resources in this country than majority of the rest of the world. But once France, England, Colombia, Brazil, and they joined the women conversation, now the gap has been bridged because soccer minds are doing it. This is a long-winded way of saying we've got to find a way to have a bigger fishing net so when the World Cup comes, we have 48 to 50 players capable of playing at the highest level, not relying on one Christian Pulisic, one Weston McKennie, one Tyler Adams. We've got to have a deeper roster of players. And until we don't, if we don't do that, Rich, you and I are going to have the same conversation every 4 years. Well, and if we're in that ecosystem,
right,
and you're in, and that doesn't motivate you to change ideas and to change methods, then that's the definition of insanity. Because if you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, Rich, you know the answer to that question.
Well, I don't know what the fix is, you know, because right now we're howling at the moon, right? We're blaming
a little bit.
We're blaming systems. We're all the way down to, you know, let's be honest, like a-hole AYSO parents, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Who are yelling
yes.
and screaming on yes. the side. Like, that's part of the reason why I stopped.
Yep.
I just couldn't stand being part of that world and culture with my kids feeling it. You know what I mean? And so
it does feel like we're hauling out the moon, Rich. It does.
Right.
Here's what I would do, and I've always been a bigger believer, raise the lowest tide, okay? Here's what I would do. In my personal opinion, because soccer's become so expensive, all of the town levels in the United States of America, if I was in charge and had the money to do this, because the mission statement for U.S. soccer is to grow the game, I would make sure the lowest level coaching in the United States of America for men and boys is raised exponentially. So if a kid, boy or girl, can only play town, can only play town travel, they are getting proper education. They're fostering the love of the sport versus you play one season with town, then you're told to go play travel for some club. They've got seven teams per age. There's four clubs in the area, and everyone's paying $7,000 for what? For what promise? We need to change something, and in my opinion, raise the lowest tide. So if he or she wants to do other sports at age 8, 9, 10, they can, but they're still getting a level of education with the sports that is good enough to then maybe foster the ideas and imagination of playing for the United States. It's just an idea, but you follow where I'm going. We can change things, but you've got to be willing to change things versus just staying on this train track hoping for a miracle, because I don't think the miracle is coming. Listen, being in the final 16 of the world, Norway just got celebrated for being in the final eight. You would have thought they won the World Cup, Rich.
Right.
We do have to have a little bit of perspective, but I just think the United States of America should be and needs to be in the final eight of the world.
Yeah.
That has to be the goal right now. Everyone else wants to say win the World Cup, sure, but we can't get out of the final 16. Get to the final eight and then see where you are and then make the next move. But that's where I'm at.
Yeah, me too. And I just want to say as well, because I know my foot is going to get stuck in my mouth. Not all parents that I dealt with AYSO were,
yeah.
I mean, there are many who really do mean well, or not mean well, who do well and want
yes.
this to work for kids and want it to work. And it just seems like a system now that we're for the first three, you know, for pool play, we're all like, hey, it's working. And then, you know, obviously what we saw with Belgium, everyone is kind of turning, like a heel turn in a way. Do you think Pochettino should stay, Taylor?
It's a great question. If Pochettino wants redemption, I'm open to it. Because anyone that is going to sit here with a half a brain and say he got a full cycle to implement his style and his fingerprint on the system, no, you will not get me to believe that. He was barely here. He should have been hired, or someone of that magnitude, right after the World Cup in 22, so then they had a full cycle. So if Pochettino believes that he can do this and he is motivated by the debacle of what happened against Belgium, because quite frankly, he should answer some of those questions, because I thought Belgium tactically had a wrinkle for him that he couldn't figure out until halftime. If he wants to, sure. However, Rich, I want your audience to understand, I've hung out with Mauricio. I've listened to him. I've talked with him. He seems like the guy that wants the everyday task of coaching a club team. So I haven't spoken to him since the World Cup. I don't know if that's changed. I don't know if he's enjoyed the international game. But when I first met him and first got to know him, it sounded like a guy that loves the daily grind, that loves really implementing his tactics within the team on a daily basis. That isn't going to happen with the U.S. men. That cannot happen at the international game. That's got to be the real question that Mauricio and his camp need to answer before he makes the decision to come back.
Thank you, Taylor Twellman. We'll chat again on Thursday after the semifinals to set up the final.
And, yes, sir.
And we'll have a good time on all of that front. And it was great seeing you at the American Century Championship.
It was a blast, my man.
With Larry David.
Look at that.
Look at that right there. L. David.
That's epic.
Right? And Larry David and Larry the Cable Guy. You were there for this moment with Smoltz and Doc. And
oh, it was awesome.
Milad.
Both Larrys looked at Rich and said, I didn't know your caddy was on your right side.
Not at all. Good to see you, buddy. We'll chat again soon.
Enjoy the
games. You got it. That's Taylor Twellman, everybody. He'll be back on Thursday's show. Woo! And we'll be back in just 2 seconds or minutes. Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay.
A bandwagon fan. The biggest insult in sports. But this summer, during the FIFA World Cup, it's an invitation, America. Never watched soccer before? Perfect. Think a corner kick is a karate move? Sure, why not? Prefer sports where players can use their hands? Me too. Just here for the snacks? Now we're talking. So grab a bag of Lay's and jump on the bandwagon. We're undefeated. Lay's, the official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
On the Rich Eisen Show, when it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors are the experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. That means working with a company that builds and installs a quality product with real pricing, real simple, really beautiful. And when a trusted name like Pella chooses to partner with the Rich Eisen Show, that says a lot. 0% financing options are available. Certain restrictions apply. Visit your local Pella Windows and Doors showroom today at Pella.com/Eisen for details. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. Listen, it just feels like youth sports in this country. We just had this conversation with Taylor Twellman. We've had it with Maurice Adu, and you're seeing it everywhere based on the fact that the U.S. men's national team did not get past two knockout round stages again in the World Cup. And everybody's pointing out, well, the way that the rest of the world handles their youth soccer is not the way the United States does it. Pay for play is what Taylor Twellman said. And you look around the rest of the world and see the way that they do it. I'm sure that there's issues and problems with the way those youth sports constructs are handled. I'm sure nothing's perfect. I'm sure there's also a lot of, you know, self-dealing, double-dealing, even worse in those scenarios. But just in terms of what we're talking about here in this country, it is so damn expensive to have your kids play youth sports. Period. End of story. You know, of all the sports that Taylor mentioned, he didn't even mention tennis, you know, which is a sport that Cooper's really into right now. It is damn expensive. When he mentioned how Little League is or Pony Baseball is now, you started shaking your head over there.
Oh, yeah, I'm in it.
You're deep in it right now.
Yeah.
And then you just filter up from and I mentioned again, I regret that I mentioned one organization in particular, but it's soccer about a-hole parents. They were, you know, it was really tough. I was a coach for, which is probably a problem, for Xander and Cooper when they played, because you want to coach your kid if you can, just to have that sort of father-son aspect. But I never played favorites or anything like that. It didn't matter. They were little kids. Sometimes you had to teach them to run a certain way. Like, that's when I was at that level, okay? But you're looking at that, and then you look at filter up to collegiate sports, where it's just like with the NIL and the portal and everything else that's right now that seems to have no rules. I mean, the amount of money you need to get your kid through youth sports to set for college, and then in college, the amount of money that's coming into some people's pockets or at least being promised to them, and then they don't get it because there's no rules. You're sitting here going like, can this ever get fixed? Can it ever get fixed? And who would be the one to fix it? Because if you're looking to the federal government to do it, that ain't happening. I mean, that doesn't appear to be high. I don't know what the fix is. Normally, whenever I say something here, I'll give an idea. I don't know.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is like, what is the incentive for the people making the most money off youth sports to fix it?
There isn't.
Right. So what do they care if how the men's soccer team or any other develops? They don't care. They're lining their pockets.
Look at healthcare in this country. I mean, if you really want to go deeper wider, cast a net.
Nothing's going to change.
There isn't. So I don't know, unless there are parents who are just like, you know what? I don't know. Can you start another organization where it is the other way around? I honestly do not know. Until you maybe have the money come in a donor type way,
right,
to set up things and academies where it does not cost you money to out of the goodness of some rich individual's heart. Maybe that's the one way to do it. I don't know. Normally we like to come up with the answers here on the program. Hour number one in the books here on the radio side of things. Call us 844-204-RICH.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.